And welcome to WestPlatteSports.com. We have Coach Jim Newstead with us in our coach's show tonight. And, Coach, looking at starting this show off, kind of a tough game last week. As far as from a spectator point of view and a broadcaster point of view, actually, it was one of the best games one of the best high school games I've ever seen, of looking at it from a neutral perspective. But from West Platte's perspective, you kind of put this in good order after the game. For your team anyway, it sounds like they were a little disappointed, a little bit shy. They played hard. I think the supporters of this team certainly are very proud of the effort the gentleman put out last Friday night, Coach. But I tell you, a close one, a heartbreaker one, but I tell you, you got to hold your head up at least a little bit by the way these guys played.
Yeah, I was really proud of the grit in the game. We didn't have a stop or lay down. We had some dumb mistakes and some problems in the red zone, so we couldn't finish some drives. But I don't think there's any point in the game where we just stopped trying. Mm-hmm. I mean, even to that last play in the game, we almost got a touchdown in the end. Just by a fingertip, he deflects the ball. If he doesn't deflect that, we score and win the game. So the effort was not a problem at all. I was really happy with my quarterback's grit. Luke broke his hand in the second play of the fourth quarter, and he sat out a couple of series, but he said, "Coach, if we go shotgun, I think I can still throw the ball. That's not my throwing hand." So we decided to do some quick game stuff where he wasn't going to get hit and get the ball out quick. And it worked for us. We moved the ball down and he had a chance to win the game at the end. And he went and got an x-ray and he's going to be out for a couple of weeks with a broken hand, but his toughness sure did show. I kind of feel sorry for Luke. That's his second year in a row playing against Austin and coming out with an injury or a broken bone. So. But all in all, with my team, my overall thoughts is that we just showed some grit. We just couldn't finish on a lot of spots.
Well, we talk about some of the performances. The defense only allowing 3 points against this team is certainly a highlight. Also, offensively, besides Luke, I mean, a real courageous effort for him to do what he did. That was made one of the highlights of the game for me as well. And, of course, Brandon James and Trent Taylor, I know they put out a heck of a game, too. So, Coach, you certainly had some performances that we all could be proud of, for sure.
Yeah, we sure did. Brandon James had 25 carries for 174 yards,
whoa,
which is about a 7-yard average, and he had the only touchdown. His longest run was 55 yards. Brandon's been a great leader for me at running back this year. I mean, we're halfway through the season, and he has close to 500 total yards of offense, so. He is definitely one of the plugs that keeps us going on offense. And Trent Taylor also is another plug we have. Trent can run the ball, he can throw the ball, he can catch the ball. I did his stats too, and he's got 630 all-purpose yards for us right now. And that includes special teams, offense, and so forth. He scored a touchdown on kickoff, he scored a touchdown on interception on defense, and he scored many touchdowns running and passing, running and catching the ball for us this year. So, much like I told the kids, that was one of the main things we talked about on Monday when we got together. I found out about Luke. Every Monday I put up on the board what are our big three plans of improvement for our team, our offense, and our defense. The number one thing I put for plan of improvement on the board this week is don't panic. I know we lost Luke, and last year they lost Luke, and they kind of panicked and kind of had a rough season. And I kind of remind the kids, we don't need to panic. We still have Brandon James, who's got 500 yards rushing, and that has nothing to do with Luke. And we still got Trent Taylor, who's got 630 all-purpose yards. We still have the same old line blocking for us. We still have the exact same defense playing for us. Yeah, we're missing a crucial part of our offense right now because Luke is a spectacular leader, and he can run the offense well. But we still have all the parts it took us to do as well as we did in the first four games. So that was kind of our point of emphasis, of not panicking. I think they bought in this week. We've had a pretty good week of practice. Trent Taylor has been doing well at quarterback for us, and we've worked a couple of the other kids at quarterback too. I don't want to get in that situation. I'm going down to one quarterback. So, if nothing else, I found out a little bit about myself the last game. I got to work some more people situations. A couple linemen come out because of blood issues at the same time. So I had to work some linemen in that hadn't played that much of practice. So I really made a conscious effort this week to get as many reps as I can, as many kids. So I'm not in that same situation with the depth problem this week or in the weeks to come. So.
Well, I know we talked about some highlights of some of your players, Coach. Is there any other Any other performances that we need to be aware of?
Well, once again, Lamar Henderson had a spectacular game on defense. Lamar is leading our team in tackles right now after four games. He has like 25, I think, some tackles, with five of them being sacked, four for tackle for losses. Once we moved him on the inside at the South Harrison game, I think he really has put some fits up to some offensive linemen. He's usually centering guards on as quick as they need to be to handle a DN type kid that's playing D tackle. So moving him in his health. My entire D-line played great.
Yeah.
Emmett Sullivan, Will Finke, Cameron Williams, all those linebacker-type kids that I moved to D-line has been paying off so far. They don't have the size, but the quickness has really made a difference. I think all five of those kids are leading my team in tackles. And I kind of give my linebackers a little credit because they're not the leading tackles and the team is supposed to be. But our D-line is doing such a good job right now that they have not had to do a whole lot of tackling.
Yeah, and certainly they can fill in their positions, and the defensive line can certainly do their job as far as try to keep people off of linebackers as well, too. No question about it, Coach. An amazing performance. It's tough. The stuff that we certainly had the injury there, and just 4 points short there.
I don't know. I had the energy to watch it in the stands because it was driving me nuts in the field. I guess it's a good game for you all, but for a coach's standpoint. When we were in the 20, we were in the red zone seven times Friday night. The first time we got there on opening drive, which is a great drive, we drove all the way down the field. We ended up having a penalty that upset us, and then we had a missed assignment that killed us on fourth down. And then the next time we get down to the red zone, we have a holding call, and all of a sudden we're first and 20. We didn't get out of that. Then we finally scored in the red zone. Then we get another holding in the red zone. We're first and 20 again. And then Luke breaks his hand in the end zone, and that kills the drive. And Luke throws an interception in the end zone. You think the game's over. We get the ball back. We get back down to about the 30-yard line, and we almost scored a touchdown right there.
Yeah.
Seven times in the red zone and only scoring one. Not a very, what I call, a successful night from a coaching standpoint. So, but I was excited about the way they played and the direction we're going. So,
I got to add this part, Coach. And we talked about it after the game. After you came up and talked to us, which we greatly appreciate. I think we saw a heart of this team develop last Friday night. They put out an exciting game, put out an exciting effort. And instead of being satisfied with, hey, we got close, they were absolutely disappointed and brokenhearted they didn't come out with a win to bring one home.
They were devastated, and that's a good sign that they were devastated, because that means they actually care and they actually know they can win. So, I mean, they were just as upset as I was after the game. There was no need for me to yell at them or get on them about not finishing those drives and so forth. They knew where they stood. They were upset with the situation, and I think that was going to be a turning point in our season, because our kids do know now that they can play with anybody, and they do have the heart to finish a game. So, it'd be interesting to see how we do this week against East Buck. I'm kind of using a comparison of that game compared to South Harrison game. Yeah. So I think we'll go see how much we've actually grown in the last 3 weeks.
Well, Coach, I think that segues into our next section here. What are the characteristics of a solid football program? I know you're trying to develop a program, but I think
solid
you kind of hit on a few things.
Solid football program, that's two different things, but I would say definitely the first thing has got to be persistence. I mean, persistence by the kids and persistence by the coaches. I told all my coaches after the game Friday night, like we came in Sunday and talked, I said, you know, the kids are more resilient than us coaches. We have to let this game go and move on. So but kids forget a lot sooner than coaches do. And we have to be persistent. Persistent in what is our overall goal as this team? Was it just to beat Lawson? Are we trying to get better every week? What is our overall goal as in this program? Are we trying to develop something in this program that can carry over from year to year? So you're going to have those ups and downs. It's just like I tell the kids in the game, you're going to have those ups and downs, and we call that adversity in the game. You have to be able to fight through adversity and overcome and be able to get back up on that pedestal and start going again. And it's the same thing as week to week. You know, we had a tough loss this week, but when we can't pout about it or be upset about it, come Sunday, we kind of go in the 24-hour rule, win or loss, that game is over, it's time to move on. And our kids kind of bought into that too. So we're getting ready for East Buck this week. We got a good game plan on offense and defense, and I'm hoping that they can handle the adversity of the loss last week and show us that they are accountable, they are trustworthy, they are persistent, and they are ready to move this program to a different level.
Well, certainly, Coach, that certainly sums it up. And I tell you what, this certainly brings us to the attention of our next opponent, no question, the East Buchanan Bulldogs. We'll talk to Coach about what we see in the scouting report for the Bulldogs. We'll be right back.
The Shane Bartee Law Offices, located in downtown Weston, Missouri, is the place to go for your legal needs, specializing in estate planning, elder care, probate, and real estate attorney needs. For the best representation by attorney, it's to your best interest to turn to the Shane Bartee Law Offices, located at 421 Main Street, Weston, Missouri, or give them a call for an appointment at 816-386-4025. At Big Buck Supply Company, they have an approach that supplies the landowner and hunter with food plot blends, feeders, mineral supplements, and blinds to enhance your hunting experience. Big Buck Supply Company's goal is to provide you with our proven products needed to manage your hunting area to create a healthier deer herd and hunting experience. Check out their products online at BigBuckSupply.com or give Chris Hyatt a call at 816-914-5972 and ask for an appointment to visit Big Buck Supply Showroom in Weston, Missouri. Reese Nichols, Weston Bend, provides a remarkable home buying and selling experience. If you're looking for residential, urban, rural properties, or historic homes in the West Platte area, you need to contact the good people at Reese Nichols, Weston Bend for the best personal service that you deserve. Do yourself a favor and give them a call at 816-640-2600 or check out their website at reesenichols.com/Weston. Or better yet, stop by their offices at 18272 Missouri State Highway 45 at Weston. The Tin Kitchen is the top barbecue destination in the West Platte area and has also established itself to be in the top 20 barbecue restaurants in Kansas City. Tin Kitchen's menu features pecan wood smoked meats straight from the pit, slow smoke for up to 16 hours. It features pulled pork, brisket, chicken, and award-winning barbecue ribs. Stop by the Tin Kitchen at 509 Main Street in Weston, Missouri for a fantastic barbecue dining experience or check out their catering menu at www.tin-kitchen.com or call them at 816-640-0100.
Well, welcome back. We have an opponent as we go to Gower next week to face off the East Buchanan Bulldogs. East Buchanan comes into this game 3-0 overall. They're 1-0 in the KCI. West Platte goes into this one 2-2 overall and 1-1 in the KCI. Also, East Buchanan just got ranked 6th in the state of a recent poll, and they have, the last several years, created certainly a program over there that's to be absolutely, at least respected. And, Coach, scouting report on East Buchanan, I'm assuming it's going to be kind of similar. They'll have an athletic quarterback, athletic receivers, and I know they play some solid defense as well. They ought to be a pretty good test for this West Platte Blue Jay team, as you mentioned before.
Yeah, they'll be a great test. You know, they beat South Harrison, and we didn't perform very well in the second half against South Harrison. Now, like I said before, I see this as kind of a game that kind of judges where we've come since the South Harrison game. They're big up front, just like South Harrison. They have a tackle at 260, another one at 270. The guards are 250 and 240, and another tackle, our center at 210, so they've got a lot of size up front. They have some really good running backs. I mean, they got three or four running backs. I can't even mention all of them. So good. Number 13, a freshman, came in last week in the second half, and I think he ran for 150 yards in one half against Penny. The starting running back broke his hand, I believe, in the first half against Penny last week. But as many running backs we have, we can't be excited about them losing one running back. I did find out that they have a receiver that broke his collarbone in practice this week, so that's going to reduce him to two receivers instead of three, which is going to help us out a little bit. And we're fighting some injury bugs just like they are, so they're kind of balancing themselves out. But I really like where my defense is at right now. If you look at our total stats for the year on defense, we've only given up 700 yards of total offense this year, and we've scored about 1,200 yards of offense. Our defense has got 6 interceptions and 9 fumble recoveries. And that's a pretty good number for the first 5 games of the year. He's given up 70 points this year, but 49 of those came to South Harrison himself. So other than South Harrison, we only gave up 20 points this season. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the test. I'm excited to see if they've grown a little bit second half of South Harrison. I know they're big. I know they can run the ball. I know the quarterback can throw the heck out of the ball. His name is Connor Musier. Number 11 is a junior. I think he's 6'5", but he can throw the heck out of the ball. So we're going to have to find ways to get some coverage sacks. We're not going to pressure him. He gets the ball off too quick. So our goal this week is to drop as many as we can in coverage and still be sound on the run and try to confuse him and take away his first couple of reads. I'm confident if we can take away his first couple of reads that my D-line are quick enough that they will get back there and cause a little havoc and cause them to hurry up some things. So defensively, I'm pretty excited about that. On offense, I mean, we got a brand new quarterback. He didn't throw the ball as well as Luke, but he sure can run the ball. So we're going to be a little versatile on our offensive run. Not multi-versatile on the total offense, just the running part. There's many different ways we're going to run the ball with him and Brandon back there, and we got a couple of running backs. We moved Emmett Sullivan from tight end back to running back to help with our depth a little bit back there. So we've got some ways. I mean, Trent Ketter can throw the ball a little bit, but he's not as efficient as Luke. But we're going to have to do some play action and rolling out and get him out of the pocket because he's kind of a quick little kid and you have to use his feet a little bit. So we're excited about the game plan we got. We're excited about this challenge we have with these Bucks. It's their homecoming. I asked the kids today, how many homecomings did you play last year? And they said every away game was a homecoming. So yeah, that's kind of been our point this week is, you know, we're trying to find being everyone's homecomings. We're going to go out and give these guys a game, hopefully come out on the winning side of it, and hopefully give them something they're not used to and try to break that trend of being everyone's homecoming that we have been the last couple of years.
Sounds like an exciting game plan. Ought to be an exciting game. We're looking forward to bringing it to you on WestPlatteSports.com and MOKSSports.com. Now, breaking down KCI conference play Friday night, looks like Lathrop's at Penny, Mid-Buchanan's at North Platte, Plattsburgh is at Lawson, and, of course, the game we're doing, West Platte at East Buchanan. Looking at the conference standings right now, Mid-Buchanan at 2-0, East Buchanan at 1-0, Plattsburgh at 1-1, Lawson at 1-1, Penny at 1-1, West Platte at 1-1, Lathrop at 0-1, and North Platte at 0-2. We also had, Coach, we can comment a little bit about this. They just released the Missouri State High School Activities Association, MESHA, did release the district maps this week. And, Coach, I'm very hopeful with what I see here. Mid-Buchanan is on top of that list so far in the district. Class 1 District 8 is where we're at, by the way, if you're following. Mid-Buchanan 4-0 has 51.75 points to be in the number one slot. East Buchanan, who are playing Friday night, of course, they are 3-0 and got 51.14 points. West Platte Blue Jays are 2-2 and have 36.8 points. They are in third place. Plattsburgh in fourth, they're 3-1. Their one loss is to West Platte. They got 34.32 points. Polo, I'll just kind of rattle off the rest of them. Polo in fifth place, Maysville in sixth, St. Joe Christian in seventh, and North Platte in eighth. Coach, I saw this released Monday night, and, you know, Mid-Buchanan, East Buchanan, obviously, they are the targets, no question about it. But I think West Platte's in a pretty good position if you continue to play, I think, at least to this level and higher, on the games from here moving forward. I think we got a good shot here to come in maybe the top four in this conference if things work out.
Yeah, we talked to the team about that, too, when we saw the districts come out. We kind of knew we'd be in the same bracket as East Buck and Mid Buck. We're just all too close not to be in that situation. So we told the kids, you know, we're not worried about being the top two right now. With where we've been in the past, if we can be in the top four, it's going to be a great season. So we're shooting for three or four right now, and right now we're at three. We're in the driver's seat. I told the kids that. I said our play will decide whether we drop from three or not, but we've already beat Plattsburgh, who's sitting at number four, and Polo and who's the St. Joe team, the Christian team.
St. Joe Christian, yeah.
Yeah, they're below us too, but, you know, with us beating Plattsburgh and Plattsburgh beating them, you know, we're kind of in the driver's seat for that. So if we can just take care of business and play to the potential that we're at, I have no qualms at all of seeing that we can be anywhere from four to the two seed. So we're excited about that. We're excited about trying to get a home district game on the turf. I don't think we've had a home district game on the turf since it's been built. So that's another little goal we have in our back pocket for the season.
Yeah, Gritz and I talked about that. We haven't had, I don't believe we've had a home district at Rudolph Eskridge Stadium, the new one anyway. So yeah, that would be certainly great, no question about it. Well, Coach, we certainly wish you all well as you go in to take on East Buchanan. Certainly will be calling the game from the stands, and certainly West Platte Nation behind you guys once again, Coach. Thanks again.
Appreciate it. Look forward to your coverage on Friday.